0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge night for Scotland. The World Cup qualification campaign gets underway with a tough one away to Denmark. Steve Clarke's taken the team to back-to-back Euros. Can he now add the big one? And on the club front, Daizen Maeda reveals he wanted to leave Celtic in the summer but was not allowed to do so. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you've got Scott Allen and Jim Duffy. What a big night this is.
Yeah, I mean, it's an important campaign for Steve Clarke. You know, I think, this is the chance that we've managed to make a mess of so often. And Gordon, the first match again away to Denmark is highly important. We know that if you don't win, it doesn't write you off, but it just puts you under pressure. So I just think that it's a game tonight where we have to really give it everything we've got. Yeah, there's always players missing. We've just lost again with Kieran Tierney, Antti Raulsen, but the likes of Aaron Hickey coming back into the squad, Ben Doak, I think that's definitely positive news, and hopefully we can get some sort of result tonight, but I don't think we're overly optimistic.
Yeah, I just want to echo what Jim says there in terms of Ben Doak coming back into Team Hickey. I think their sort of profile as players definitely give us something different if we are aggressive in terms of getting after Denmark. As you say, obviously going to the park, and it's a big ask, but I think if we can maybe take 4 points over the next two games, I think it would be a decent start.
And on the club front, there has been one theme that has run right throughout this week, and it has been Celtic fans' transfer frustration. Some of them must have woken up this morning thinking, right, surely we've heard the end of it for this week. And we know we've done deadline day and Dahlberg and Iheanacho and all the, and then the Europa League squad. And now today, Daizen Maeda speaks to some media away in Japan and says, oh, he wanted to leave as well, thought it was happening, Celtic put a block on it, and now the one remaining perceived positive in the Celtic attack is not feeling too good about things either.
Yeah, it's not the news that Celtic fans wanted to hear. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I mean, the player of the year last year, the most improved player, I think, really in their team last year as well. You know, he was always a pest, if you want to call it that. But he added the goals and the quality last year as well to his overall game. He was immense. Played a pivotal role in Celtic winning the title. A lot of fans have been saying, oh, he thinks his head's elsewhere because the form has dipped so dramatically in the early stage of this season. And obviously there's maybe elements of that lingering in for the player. You know, maybe there was a degree of disappointment that he didn't get the move, or he knew it wasn't happening. From Celtic's perspective, I think they have to get round the player now and get his head right, make sure that he's focused for whatever period he's going to stay. He can't move until at least January, so get him back to something like he was last year, and then Celtic will have a terrific player in their hands. But yeah, there's obviously going to be concern, I think, amongst the Celtic fans that one of their top players was keen to move.
I think there would be interest in Maeda, obviously, off the back of the season he had. You look at the goals he scored, and the flip side in terms of that ability to press teams and just constant energy, I think that was always going to attract certain teams. But there's no doubt you can see it has affected him in terms of performance. He just hasn't got going as of yet this season. But it's how Celtic now deal with that. How does Brendan Rodgers get the best out of Daizen Maeda up until January? Because you would probably expect another bid to come in. You'd expect Celtic, expected signings to happen on deadline day, but you would more than like to think that Celtic get something done in January. But it's what now Brendan Rodgers can do between this time and January to get the most out of this side.
Don't forget, every caller who makes it on to the show tonight can win a pair of tickets to the Ladbrokes Gold Cup at Ayr Races. So if you want to register for tickets, you can, ayr-racecourse.co.uk. But we've got a pair of tickets to the Saturday. It's happening over the 18th to 20th of September weekend. And all you have to do, call up, make a point to the panel, like you might do anyway, but by doing so, you get into the hat for a pair of tickets. So maybe if you're not sure, maybe that's enough to nudge you in the right direction, because it is a fantastic weekend down there. So plenty to look forward to. Give us a call right now. No shortage of talking points on the international front. This is the start of a new World Cup qualification campaign. It maybe doesn't feel like it. Maybe it's something to do with the league season just starting. Maybe it is all the drama of the transfer window. But this is it. This is a World Cup qualification campaign. You don't need me to tell you, they only come around every 4 years. It's been a long, long time since one of them went in the Scotland men's team favour. Steve Clarke had one crack at one and obviously lost that playoff to Ukraine. A couple of Euros over the piece. Can Scotland land the big one? This is the start of a new campaign, so give us all your thoughts specifically on tonight then. How do you feel it will go? It's a tough start away to the top seeds in the group. In Denmark, you only have to look at their home record. They don't lose too often over there. So how do you feel? Get your predictions in. Tell us how confident or not confident you might be. And as always on a big night, we love a good debate about who's going to play. You could go right through that team. The goalkeeping situation. Angus Gunn doesn't play a lot of football, if any, for Nottingham Forest. Liam Kelly, not playing a lot of football for Rangers. Or Xander Clarke, playing for Hearts, but maybe a bit of stick in the last few weeks. So which one of them are you picking? The age-old Scotland debate. Is it a back three? Is it a back four? Further up the pitch, who leads the line? Is it Shea Adams or Lyndon Dykes, as it so often has been? Or has Kieran Bowie done enough to start the match? Does Ben Doak play? Is it Kenny McLean? Is it Ryan Christie? You know all the drill. So get them over to us right now. 01419511025. This is a slightly different gym as well. You know, as a nation, we've been through this. We've been through this rigmarole of getting hopes up for a campaign, getting them dashed. This is only a four-team group. It's over in 10 weeks' time. Mm-hmm. In 10 weeks, the campaign will be over. Yeah. It is a sprint. Wow. It is also, because of the condensed nature of the group, it's tough. Like, yeah. Don't get me wrong. This is what Steve Clarke's going to have to do. And if we don't go through, they'll all get criticism and they'll deserve it. A four-team group with Denmark, Greece and Belarus is pretty tough.
Yeah, it is tough, but I think it's tough for all the other teams as well. There's no real big favourite in this group, Gordon, and I think from Scotland's perspective, I think that's a good thing. You know, I think if there was one real outstanding team, then you might think, wait a minute, we could struggle here. But I think that if we play at our very best, we mentioned earlier on, we've got key players missing, always seems to be the case. But if we can play at our very best, then, you know, there's not a lot to fear either. I think that these teams are good teams, but they're not exceptional teams in terms of world football. So I think that, that gives us as even a chance as everyone else in the group, or as difficult, depending how you look at it. But again, as Scott was mentioning earlier, you know, if we can manage to get something from a game tonight and then hopefully, you know, win your next game, as you say, in such a condensed period, which is quite unusual for international football, I think it might help Scotland. I really do. I think that there's not a lot of time to overthink it or to change things dramatically. So if Steve gets his system right, the group of players that he feels can do it, then, you know, in a short period of time, I think that might help us.
Suppose, Scott, I know it's probably easier. I think as a nation, we just default to being slightly negative or being slightly cynical. But if you were trying to flip that in his head, just for once, just before it starts, over that period since 1998, there haven't been many times when you go into a World Cup campaign having made the previous two Euros. So it's in a sense that this group should be better equipped than any of those that have gone before, just based on that experience.
Yeah, based on the experience, I don't think you can argue with that. I think the fact you look at Greece, and Greece was a game, obviously, potentially we felt that we would go and win, and then you see that they had a real quality about them in areas that can really affect you. The areas where we're maybe saying we might not have it there, but we do have it in midfield. They had players at that top end of the park, obviously Tizos, who we've seen playing against Rangers as well, who was a standout. So they have quality players, so none of these games are a given. But if you can get off to a good start tonight, and I think a draw would be a good result tonight. I know Denmark have obviously changed a lot of things about how they played, because the fans were on them a little bit. Christian Eriksen's not in the team anymore, so they do have, in terms of midfield, some good players, but so do we, and that's the main thing. But I think in terms of who he plays up front, for me, will decide if we win the game tonight or get a point.
I think there is pressure though on Steve Clarke, because
he's admitted, hasn't he? You
mentioned, Gordon, that we qualified for two, but we totally underperformed at both tournaments. And I think that's something that I think is lingering in the background. You know, the fact that we got there and just didn't do ourselves justice at all.
Jim, do you think Steve Clarke learns from how we approach day games, even though this is an away game in Denmark?
Yeah, I think that any manager should be learning from it, but I just think because we were so negative and just didn't have that intensity, you know, that's required in tournament football. And I know this is not tournament, I know this is qualifying, but I do think that, you know, we have to take a little bit more risk, Scott. You know, and I think that's something that I think we failed to do in the tournament.
Let's bring in Ewan on the line and get his thoughts. Hi, Ewan.
Hi, how are you?
All good, Ewan. What are you thinking?
hoping you win it, hoping he's going to get win, right? Hoping he's going to win. Right, I'm confident he's going to win.
And do you think they will? Are you feeling optimistic, confident?
Yeah, I'm confident. I'm going to watch the game on live on TV, so I'm going to watch the BBC. Watch the game.
What are you basing the confidence on, Ewan? The group of players?
I'll
tell you what, Ewan's line's a bit dodgy. It'll be tough, I think, for most of you to hear. I've got the big headphones on. I can almost just about make it the gist of it was is Ewan was confident. And it's interesting what you say there about the tournament football, because how could you disagree what we've got there? And it's been a bit of a letdown. At the same time, I wonder if you take the positives from having come through qualification campaigns pretty well, because even the last World Cup, what that came down to was actually, I feel like that campaign gets forgotten about. It's a really good campaign, yeah. Got to a playoff against Ukraine. They probably played, they put in their best performance for years that night, and it goes wrong. But
yeah,
actually,
but we
the
were
experience,
poor as well.
Yeah,
we were poor.
The experiences of quality. Whilst you want to do better when you get there, actually your experiences of the qualification campaigns might be more relevant just now.
I think there'll be four teams, Gordon. You can't afford to have off nights. You know, if you've got an extra team in it, you might, depending on, you know, how our results go, you might have a chance to recover some of it. I think with only four teams in the group, we can't afford, you know, to be off in any game. We have to be at it for every game.
That's kind of what the last campaign, that's what I'm saying. I wonder if that helps, because remember the last campaign was the one that we qualified with a month to spare. So it was actually that quick start that helped.
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, in terms of getting after teams, getting that positivity straight away, if you can manage to go there and pick up a result tonight, honestly, the belief and the confidence would be, and also puts pressure on the other teams in the group. So, yeah, we have got that experience, and that is something, like Andy Robertson and, you know, John McGinn and these guys, Scott McTominay, all these type of guys should definitely benefit from. There's no question about
that. I think the difficulty is with it, Scott, it's not an idea. Or is it then? I'll just ask you. Do you want to go? Do you want your hardest fixture in the group first, away to the best team?
No, I wouldn't say you would. I think you would much prefer Belarus at home, and then maybe go away
something
to Denmark.
To build on.
Yeah, and obviously potentially play players who you think over the course of the next year are going to be the guys who start for you. I think that's why I think team selection tonight is going to be so interesting in terms of who goes with, especially that nine position. Does Ben Doak come in? For me, I just think, because of that natural speed away in an area like that, you need a player who can carry the ball. He's one of our only players who can really go 50, 60 yards with the ball. You look at Hickey coming back, and I think he's an upgrade for us. I think he's a fantastic player. Maybe not as fit,
isn't it?
But sometimes it's you just have to do it for the greater good of the team, and I feel you have to have him on your side tonight. Obviously, that, me and you did have a debate earlier today about who plays up top, and I'm saying Kieran Bowie. And the reason why I say Kieran Bowie is, and going away to games like that, and at times you will come under a bit of pressure, when you're then looking to find your striker, it has to stick. And I feel out the players there, and probably between him and Shea Adams, I would imagine, I think he does it better. I think he's more of a threat. At the same time, I seen him against Mitchelland at the start of the European campaign, and he absolutely bullied the two defenders. Yes, he didn't go through, but in terms of him
Danish
individually
as well.
Against
like
them,
I see you're thinking that he's got it all figured out. Let me bring in Josh as well. What do you think out there? Who are you starting up front? Who are you starting in goal? All the rest of the selection dilemmas, because we'll probably get the team in the next half hour or so. So why not have a bit of a prediction or get your wish list in? Josh is on. How are you, Josh?
All right, Gordon, mate. How's it going?
Good. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so, you know, we have to be defensively disciplined tonight, show the organisation side of things, but we've got great midfield runners, like to Scott McTominay, like to John McGinn, you know, kind of working off that target man. And for me personally, I'd like to see Bowie, just to shake it up a little bit. You know, he's strong for him, like the wonderful goal that he scored in Europe's testament to that. He has that no fear about him. And speaking of no fear, I've also got Ben Doak's name written down here in bold writing. He's exciting, he's dynamic, he's an amazing talent. There's a hype about him. He's got his move to Bournemouth for £25 million. He has the X factor. The best we've had for ages in this country in that regard. He can take players on. He has that wow factor about him. As soon as Ben gets the ball, the fans are off the edge of the seats wondering what's going to happen next. You know, in terms of the goalkeeper, I'd probably play it a bit more safe in that regard, probably give it to Angus Gunn. He has had a bit of negative publicity, you know, with the performances in the Euros, but I just think, Clark's all about that. you know, the same players, game in, game out. So that's what I'm kind of.
What do you think up front, Jim? So Scott and I were talking about it earlier. I'm a bit like everyone else. I'm excited by Kieran Bowie, and I really hope Kieran Bowie is. I think the slight difference this time, and I was talking to Scott earlier, is I don't think it's going to be a big shock if Steve Clarke picks Shea Adams, who scored a hat trick in Scotland's last game. Now this guy, honestly, is desperate to take credit away. His response was, "It was only against Liechtenstein," which I get. That's why I'm not saying it's amazing, it's wonderful, build a statue of Shea Adams. But I also think you still did it. You know what I mean? And I don't know if.
As a striker, it still gives him confidence. Yeah, I mean, listen, we know the opposition wasn't great, but if you're a player and you're not a prolific goal scorer, and Shea Adams isn't.
Yeah, he needed Scotland goals.
He needed the goal, so therefore, I think that definitely helps him. It takes a little bit of the kind of stigma of not being, you know, not scoring that many goals for Scotland, you know. So therefore, yeah, I think that'll help him. I think he goes into the game with a little bit more confidence, even though you know, the quality of the opposition wasn't great. I'm a big fan, as I think we all are, of Kieran Bowie. I think there's no doubt about that. He's the potential, is someone that we've really been looking for. Powerful, strong, a bit confident. You know, again, the goal he scored, as Josh is talking about, was just out of this world. You know, so he's got a range of skills that I think in the fullness of time will definitely be, you know, a regular Scotland player. I just think that, like a lot of us probably do, that Steve Clarke going away from home tends to go with people he knows and kind of trusts and has relied upon in the past, and I think it will be Shea Adams tonight. That's what I think. I'm not saying that's what
I would pick.
No, well, I think I would pick Kieran Bowie as well, but I would also pick Ben Doak. But as I said before, I'm not the one that's having to take the risks. But as a football fan, Scott, I want to see us,
but that's why
taking the game as much as we can.
That's the point. They're in different categories slightly for me, as good as Kieran Bowie is. Because look back to when Ben Doak did play. You could have said at that time, oh, Steve Clarke will go with the people that have done it before, but Ben Doak becomes irresistible. Whereas I don't know if, is there enough in Bowie Adams for it to be irresistible
at
this point?
He's still learning his trade with Hibs, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, but I just think in terms of how he is as a player, he holds the ball up. There's going to be times where, you know, it's like they're going to try and pin you in for a bit tonight, and when that ball's getting shaped up to one of the strikers, I would rather it falling at Kieran Bowie than falling at Shea Adams, and that's just terms of his link-up play. I think if you can get into Kieran Bowie's feet, because he looks to control it and then set it off, you then get that one that goes back into John McGinn and McTominay, you then have Ben Doak getting in behind. That's how you
maybe Kasper
get
Schmeichel
to utilise
still
his pace.
Nightmares of Shea Adams scoring against them at Hampden, however many years ago it was, you never know.
Well, again, he hasn't been at his very best either. As a lot of Celtic players have been, Kasper Schmeichel, you know. So we want to take advantage of any fragility we can see
quickly, because we're a bit late for the break. But Josh says Angus Gunn. I think this is the challenge of international football. We can all debate and we can all criticise managers or whatever, but there's going to be certain departments of the team that you've got a less than ideal scenario and you have to pick somebody. So who would you go for in goal?
Yeah, the goalkeeper is a tricky one. But, I mean, we've got a number of players who have been playing regularly, the captain included, Andy Robertson, you know. So it's a difficult one. I would probably go with Xander Clarke, because he's been playing.
Okay, who are you going for?
What's the options? Angus Gunn and
Xander Clarke and Liam Kelly.
I'd go Liam Kelly.
Okay, what do you think out there? Who's right, who's wrong? Give us a call, we'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Scott Allen are here. We're building up to a huge night for Scotland, and the team lineup is in. We've just been debating it prior to the break, and I don't think many people predicted the following lineup. Angus Gunn is the man in goal. We said it was a difficult choice in goal. Angus Gunn has been given the nod. Brilliant to see Aaron Hickey back, 2 years since his last Scotland cap, just when he was becoming such a key part of the team. He plays at right back. The centre halves are John Souter of Rangers and Grant Hanley of Hibs nowadays. Of course, left back, as you would expect, the skipper, Andy Robertson. So the back four is in, that a lot of people wanted to see in terms of shape. It's a bit further up where it gets interesting, because the recognised midfielders in there, Scott McTominay, of course, plays. John McGinn, of course, plays. Ryan Christie plays, as does Lewis Ferguson. So that means no Billy Gilmore, there is no Ben Gannon Doak, and it means that Shea Adams plays, but so does Lyndon Dykes. So a very, very interesting and unpredictable team from Scotland. You've got your head in your hands, Scott Allen. That suggests you don't like it.
I didn't see that coming, I'm not going to lie. I think it'd be interesting to see where Christie plays. I think you obviously seen him play a different position than he does for Scotland when he's at Bournemouth, and he's been fantastic. Lewis Ferguson coming in, obviously. I think they've had four appearances between 11.
Who's
this season?
Starting appearances.
Four appearances between the 11 this season, which is interesting. Obviously, he goes with Lyndon Dyke, so he's wanting to get that target man in the team and maybe get Adams round about him. But listen, if it's as a diamond, which me and Jim think it potentially could be at times, then obviously there's going to be a big job in the hand in terms of creatively from Robertson and Aaron Hickey.
I think elements of that, Jim, it's the 5th of September, that stat about the four appearances, whilst not great, that doesn't surprise me loads, right? Because if you go through the bench...
It's an international team, though.
No, I'm talking about how many appearances you can possibly have by September, because do you want to swap in Billy Gilmore? Because he's not, played a lot either.
Yeah, I like it, but
I'm talking about your stat, right? So you can bring in Ben Doak, he's not played either. So I don't think the bit about that in the 5th of September is huge. However, that's surprising on a number of levels, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all thought there'd be certainly one or two different players in there, but that's the nature of being the manager. He picks the ones that he believes that can get the job done against Denmark. He's maybe looked at their setup, maybe thinks, and this is the best way to counteract it. We think it could be a diamond. It could be a straight 4-4-1-1 or 4-4-2. Really, I just don't see it, because I know John McGinn can play in the right, and Christie could play in the left. You could blame McTominay and Fergie in there, but it's not the strongest area. So we think that Christie will sit.
I think what's interesting as well, though, right? Because how the kind of narrative goes, it's for so long. I think the accusation is that Steve Clarke is not attacking enough and is too defensive. Don't play two strikers very often.
No, and a lot of people do call for two strikers. It's very unusual at any level, club level, but particularly international football. So, from that point of view, John McGinn scored a lot of goals at international, so is Scott McTominay, and we've got those two players in along two strikers. So there's a bit of physical presence. We do have that, with the centre backs, obviously with the two boys up front, McTominay, McGinn, strong, powerful. So we have assets and attributes that we can cause problems, but I'm thinking then he's looking at that to try and dominate the ball in the middle of the pitch, because
where's Billy Gilmore then?
Yeah, I understand, but he's got Christie in there again. He maybe just thinks that away from home he's a little bit better defensively. We're guessing, Gordon, but
let's ask Thomas on the line his thoughts. Go on, Thomas.
Yes, hi guys, good evening. Gordon, Jim and Scott, how are we?
Good, thank you,
Thomas.
I have to say, when I called in at first, my starting point was going to be that I had more of a fear about playing Greece over this group than I did Denmark. I did not envisage this team being the team that plays against Denmark. And I have to say that this team, I'm usually quite an optimistic Scotland fan. This team is not helping with that. There's just a few decisions in there that I just do not understand. For example, let me start with the positives, actually. It's good to see Aaron Hickey back, and it's good to see us playing two strikers. But I have to say, first of all, if we're going to play two strikers, I am flabbergasted that Kieran Bowie is not one of those two. The midfield and the lack of width, or the perceived lack of width based on the names on the team sheet is appalling. The lack of Ben Gannon-Doak obviously would provide that. He's a brilliant player and he should be starting for Scotland. We should be playing him as much as he's available. I think that he could really be the difference maker. And just the shape, just I have no idea what we're doing. And it just, I was so much looking forward to this this campaign, and it's been the life of it has seemingly been sucked out of it before we've even hit the ball, and it's just typical Scotland.
We spoke about the dynamic of the group. In theory, if you can go away to Denmark, keep it tight, draw the game, come back, win your home games, etc., that's fine. So you get the idea. The problem is, that has to happen. You know, we have to hope that we can carry that out. You know what I mean, Scott? If I could guarantee you just now that that team keeps it really tight for 60 minutes and then you unleash Ben Doak and then you win the game, then I think we would all get on board with that.
Yes.
But it's the doubt as to whether that will be the case.
Yes, I just think for me it's kind of the mentality how you want to start the game. That's why I would have played with Ben Doak's, Young Kieran Bowie. It's let's go and get after them and have a right go and defend solidly within that. But at least you're putting them out under pressure early doors. With the two up front, it does allow you to do that. You'd imagine it'd be a disciplined shape. But I think Thomas makes a good point in terms of the natural width there. If you have the two strikers, you would assume it's going to be a lot of balls into the box crosses, but you don't naturally have that width and pace down the sides out with Hickey. Robertson obviously is getting on a bit and you maybe expect him to get down, making that overlap with whoever's playing on the left hand side. But just, I don't think any of us can quite envisage what it's going to be like yet, but by having the two you would expect to use the width and put balls in the box, but with that midfield four, none of them are natural width.
The only thing you can say, Gordon, I mean, he's obviously wanting to maybe try and press with the two strikers, so he gets the two strikers, he gets the midfield behind them, so he's looking to try and press them from the front with the two strikers. So that's one aspect, trying to, you know, maybe go and press onto the game, and then he's got, as I said, that very compact, well, looks to us a very compact midfield in behind them to try and stop Denmark playing through us. Again, if they get it wide and get it in the box, then we should be able to cope with that with Suter and Hanley in there. But it's one of those situations when you look at it, two strikers are there. As we mentioned, there is goals from midfield, but it's just that little bit of creativity. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think when Billy Gilmore plays, he gives us that ball security. He dictates the tempo of the game. And I think that's probably, you know, one of the midfield players that I thought that if you're going to play that would seem actually ideal to suit that style. But again, listen, Stevie's a manager. He's made some big calls in the past when people haven't agreed with it, and it's worked out. So let's hope he gets it right again tonight.
Thomas, would you have gone Angus Gunn in goal?
Well, that was another point I wanted to actually put to the panel when I called in prior to the team being announced, was what you guys would have done. Personally, I would have gone with Angus Gunn in goal on the basis that in the last international window, it was clear that Angus Gunn was viewed as our number one goalkeeper, and obviously he got injured and we had to bring on Kieran Slicker, and then that went wrong, and then we had to play Ross Doohan against Liechtenstein and, you know, didn't have much to do. But Angus Gunn was clearly at that point viewed as our number one, and we've not had him to, you know, set the header on a light, if you will, to take over from there. So I thought that would be the decision that was made. And, you know, if that was the most controversial point of the team news this evening, I would have been very happy. But unfortunately, the rest of it just doesn't make any sense. And one other point was, Jim mentioned having the physicality and to deal with balls into the box with Grant Hanley, as well as obviously John Souter, but Grant Hanley was specifically mentioned by Jim, and I have to say, I do not understand what Stevie Clark sees in Grant Hanley to constantly play him game after game. I mean, the amount of mistakes that he's made, that I can remember high-profile mistakes against, for example, Poland in the Nations League and stuff, and I just don't get it. Personally, I would have liked to have seen Scott McKenna starting. You know, he's got a move in the summer to Dinamo Zagreb. He's been playing football there. They've had a relatively decent start to the season, and I just think, you know, Grant Hanley, I think, he's had his time, and I think he's done well for us, but you can see that he's starting to creak a bit and just freshen it up a bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, listen, there's no doubt he's in there for his experience. Steve Clark likes him. Steve Clark goes back to him. He has been a part of a lot of successful Scotland results and part of some not-so-successful ones. John Souter's been getting a bit of stick for his Rangers form this season. Is that, or it's Scott McKenna or maybe Jack Hendry? What would you have done?
I mean, listen, I think the John Souter one is different because I think, you know, when he goes into the international fold, he plays a different way, and obviously he's been having to try to adapt to Russell Martin's new way of playing. So I think that's... is maybe a wee bit unfair in judging on that at the moment, and Rangers in particular have been taking a bit of criticism But I just think that, I'm not surprised it's a sort of Hanley partnership, put that way. I think if he was going to go to four and back, that to me would always been his two, because he likes him. He obviously prefers those type of players that are, you know, reasonable on the ball without being outstanding, but more defensive, more you know, more old school defenders, for want of a better phrase.
But Scott McKenna was mentioned by Thomas. I think sometimes we need to be honest with Scott. I've not watched any Croatian football. I've not seen Scott McKenna play, and I suspect most people.
He's been unbelievable over there.
Is he?
No, I don't know.
You know, I do sometimes think we overlook those things, but on paper, Grant Hanley, what do you think?
I had McKenna down for who I would have before the game. I would have went McKenna. Yeah, I think, to be fair, I watched Grant Hanley against Livingston a few weeks ago, and he was excellent for Hibs. I was quite close to the pitch. He was organising everybody around about him. He got his head on a lot of cross balls, which they had to contend with that day. But for me, I would have went McKenna. I think obviously different type of player from Hanley, but sometimes managers have trust in a player, and that is just the way it goes sometimes.
And so listen, I totally get why people don't like this. I'm not necessarily huge on it, but if it works, we'll be fine. It's about the most physical Scotland team we could have picked. Is that fair? Is there a consideration there about set pieces and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah,
Lyndon Dykes playing as well.
Yeah, again, you've got to look at the opposition and see what their strengths are. Gordon, we're focusing on Scotland, but you know, Steve Clark's got two aspects. He's got his team to sort out, but he's also got to make sure that they do the due diligence on Denmark. You know, I think that there's a couple of things, and you know, I think we get back to all the time, and that is, you know, whether Ben Doak's maybe fit enough to go and start the game, I'm not so sure. But I think that almost every Scotland fan wants to see dynamic, positive players. The first thing when they do, when they get the ball up, is go, I'm going to get out the fullback. So if we'd have played a 4-3-3 and he'd been one of the wide guys and sacrificed perhaps one of the strikers, I think there wouldn't have been as much controversy in one or two other positions. Mm-hmm. But it's because it's very compact, very, you know, very organised, but there's no real flair in the team, and I think that's always something that seems to stick in.
That's a really good
Scotland
point,
fans, throats,
because we touched on it earlier. No one expects Steve Clarke to play two strikers. No. He's playing two strikers tonight, but all of a sudden, you know, it's the deficiencies elsewhere that.
But Dykes is probably generally right. Dykes is probably in there for defending set pieces.
No, that's kind of what I meant. It'll be both boxes.
Yeah, that will be a reason in why he's playing. He'll think he's another.
Go on, Thomas.
Body attacks the ball.
Leave us with a prediction, Thomas.
A prediction based on that team and how I see the game going. I'm trying to be positive. Let's go for a stuffy 0-0 and get a point.
Sounds good to me. Come back when the next game. Let's try and take it from there. Thank you very much to Thomas. Keep your calls flowing in. We'll speak to you very soon. Let me tell you about this first. I was waiting on my fancy music. It's fine. I'll just tell you. The Cash for Kids Sports Challenge is back. It's a unique fundraising campaign. We're raising money to help give all children across Glasgow, the West and Ayrshire the chance to get involved in their favourite sport. Because for children from low-income families, those with additional needs, access to sport can be difficult. So we're trying to get you to get your local sports team, group, club, whatever it may be, to sign up and take part. You fundraise for a month, and after that, Cash for Kids grants back to you 100% of the money you have raised. So they've also going to have extra funding worth thousands of pounds to win for those who manage to raise the most. If you want to find out more, go to Clyde1.com.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Scott Allen are here, still digesting the surprise Scotland team lineup. If you like, two strikers. It's not often we see that. It's Shea Adams and Lyndon Dykes. No Billy Gilmore. No Ben Gannon Doak. It's it's quite something. The interesting thing, maybe, Jim, about Ben Gannon Doak, I think we all fell in love already with how quickly he came in and made an impact for Scotland in those Nations League games. I would have started him just to be clear about that. But because of the type he is, he's about the only type that you could say could maybe be an impact player as well. Do you know what I mean? If you start
him, he comes on in the last half hour. I get that.
Is that maybe part of the thinking?
I mean, yeah, of course. Because I mean, if you can keep it tight and you know, the, you know, you that take a player to come on when players are getting tired and there's maybe been a few substitutions made and, you know, the oppositions are a little bit disjointed. You've got a player who has got fantastic pace and is very direct. Listen, I don't think Ben Garandot was amazing for Scotland when he came in. I don't think it was like, oh wow, he done everything right.
It was just different.
But it was different, and as I said, it was a throwback to being a direct winger. Most wingers now are inverted wingers. They like to come in, link the play up, and they score goals. He isn't. He's like sawdust on the boots, you know, getting at the fullback and getting past people and really, and fans love that. Fans love to see, you know, just real direct play. Sometimes you'll overrun it, sometimes you could have passed it, all these type of things, and that'll come through experience. But he is an exciting player. He's a player who excites you, and we have very few of them and have had very few in recent years. The last player for me, you know, was James McFadden. When James McFadden was out there and he got the ball and he was dribbling, he was taking people on, it was brilliant to watch, because it's so rare these days that you get those type of players, and Ben Doak is of that style.
Because it was I think that's been a limitation of this squad, Scott. Even when they've been good, even when they've done well, it got to points in games where maybe, you know, Ryan Christie would come off for Stuart Armstrong, or Kenny McLean would come on for John McGinn. You know, and there was nothing different. Forget good or bad, better or worse, there was nothing really different.
I get your point, Gordon, right? But this, if you're basing it on what we've seen before, the most chance we've got of seeing Ben Doak tonight is if we go a goal down. Because if it's 0-0 up to that, I don't see him changing.
Yeah.
That's
because a point in theory would be.
Yeah, so okay. If we go a goal down, then that's your best chance of seeing Ben Garandot. But for me, I would have played him the same as you two guys. I think that raw pace gets you up the pitch and ultimately draws fouls as well. You've got two strikers there, put the ball in the box, you might take the lead through a set piece. He entices that because of the pace. We don't really have that anywhere else when I look across that midfield four.
Let's bring in Billy and get his take on it. Take it away, Billy.
How you doing, lads?
Good. What are you thinking?
It's just, when I heard the team, no, I mean, apart from a lack of width, there's a complete and utter lack of pace. I mean, and it screams out, at the very best, 0-0, which is a typical Stevie Clark. But I mean, in my opinion, you better have gone for the throats. Go for Denmark. I mean, play Ben Doak. No, I mean, play people with pace and go at them. No, I mean, that way you might end up snatching a goal and getting yourself something to defend. Instead of, I know Jim's saying if it's 0-0 after an hour, I mean, it's a big if.
Yeah.
I mean, for two down, it doesn't matter whether you've been Ben Doak on or you need Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
Yeah, Billy's right.
The thing about the pace, though, is what we really mean by that is just Ben Garandot. Because it's not like there's anything else that would improve the pace of that team. Ryan Christie's probably considered the other most dynamic.
Not at that kind of.
No, that's what I'm saying.
So his best position has been playing centrally. Yeah. At that's why he's been fantastic.
That's what I'm saying. So when we say the team lacks pace, we need more pace. Yeah. We really just mean Ben Garandot, because none of the other subs are quick either, or particularly quick.
No, it's as simple as that. I think Billy's spot on. I think, as I said, I know we're going back over the point. The best chance we've got of seeing Ben Doak is if we go a goal down, because if it stays 0-0. The substitutions you're most likely to see is probably a Scott McKenna or maybe a Kenny coming into midfield for somebody to show up in the midfield.
And that's the difficulty.
Experience.
Jim, you'll know this. That's the thing about management, because right now we can say what we want. The end result tells you whether it works.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And not only tonight, but in 10 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Because if we do see out a 0-0, then it maybe does give you the platform. And I know it seems negative tonight and all the rest of it. We can only really...
But that's the fun of the debate. Before the game. Yeah. I mean, we all believe that, you know, we would pick a different team, and that's always been the case for an international manager, because he has so many options at his disposal. It's sometimes easier for when you've got less, people to pick from. But you're right, Gordon, in what you say about Ben Garandot, is that he is the only, and that's the reason why we want him in the team, because he is the only one. Is exactly what you say. That's the reason, because we don't have another similar type of player. As you mentioned, if you change the midfield, you could put on, you know, a Kenny McLean, you know, in midfield for Lewis Ferguson or whatever it happens to be. And there's not, it's a like for like. But Ben Doak doesn't have a like for like in the squad.
See, because of that, I think the other bit that's getting overlooked, I think one of the biggest surprises is no Billy Gilmour. Mm-hmm. Because as exciting as Ben Garandot is, mm-hmm. he's got a couple of caps, mm-hmm. and by the way, he's got a handful really of recent first team experience at any level. But Billy Gilmore has racked up a lot of caps for Scotland, played a key role, not as much as his pal, but a good role in a Serie A winning side at Napoli last season. If we talk about different, is he not the only midfielder that you would say is a proper, you know, possession based?
Well, if you're taking the Christie from Bournemouth, you could compare it. I would say Ryan.
He's still more of all energy though, Ryan Christie, isn't
he? Yeah, but we're talking about Steve Clarke's Scotland team here, though. That's what he'll be looking at. Can Ryan Christie close his spaces if they do play through?
But chances are it's Lewis Ferguson rather than Billy Gilmore, isn't it? In terms of like who you would expect to play. Yeah. I think Christie would have probably played either way.
Yeah, listen, I'm still trying to come to terms of what I'm looking at here, because it's. I'm just thinking, this back to Ben Doakes, you're only out ball in terms of the pace. You look at Billy Gilmore, we've seen him, especially against the better nations, how comfy he is in the ball. You can't rule how important it is to have a player of that sort of ability, because it actually settles the guys round about you about on the ball. He kind of, the way he plays, beats a bit of calmness throughout the squad.
So talking about Ben Gannon Doakes, yeah. Definitely, he probably is.
So there's so many factors there that could affect the team. At the same time, we just need to wait and see. We could be... You're looking at that. It could either be a very good decision, but if they don't produce a result tonight, Steve Clarke will get in the neck for that selection.
Thank you, Billy. It's an interesting Denmark team as well. Just a couple of highlights from it. Kasper Schmeichel is obviously in goal. Some high profile names. Højbjerg there in midfield, as you would expect. Damsgaard. And the front two is very interesting because Kasper Dahlberg, heard of him?
Yeah.
Celtic fans, anyone?
Just a little bit. The Ajax player.
Here's what you could have won. Just off Mika Bireth, remember? On loan at Motherwell just two seasons ago. Went to Sturm Graz, flying. Went to Monaco, flying. Tearing
so
it up, scoring.
Give us your view on him.
He was good, but I didn't think he would kick on that fast, I have to say. But there we go. That's what Scotland face tonight. And here is what you face next.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it's Beat the Pundit time. We are hoping to give away either the signed ball or the Beat the Pundit coin. You can have your say if you get on and beat Jim Duffy or Scott Allen. You must call before 7 o'clock on 01419511025.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Jim Duffy are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We're 45 minutes away from Scotland kicking off their World Cup qualification campaign. By the sound of the calls, by the looks on the faces of Jim Duffy and Scott Allen, it's not the team that anyone would have picked. That's the beauty of football. Who knows? Maybe we're all surprised. Maybe it's a good result. Maybe it's a solid foundation for the rest of the campaign. And if it's not, then obviously we'll all argue about it on Sunday and Monday anyway. So
easy when you're sitting in the studio, not when you're the national manager.
But anyway, plenty more time for you to air your grievances, or maybe someone wants to balance it up. Is there somebody out there who thinks that's the right team? There's the challenge for us tonight. Give us a call.
Aye, Steve Clarke's going to phone.
And on the club front, there's still a lot happening as well. Celtic fans, how do you feel about the revelation today? Daizen Maeda wanted to move, thought he was moving, didn't happen in the end. How concerning is that for you? Give us a call and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Let's bring in Martin and Airdrie. How are you, Martin?
Hi, Gordon. All right, pal.
Have you ever played this before, Martin?
I haven't, no.
Good, right, okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to toss the Beat the Pundit coin. And if it is the blue side that lands on, it will be Jim Duffy. If it's the red side, it will be Scott Allen. And it is Scott Allen up red. Against. What do you mean again?
3 weeks in the bounce.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what, tough school this. Scott Allen up against Martin in Airdrie. How do you usually fare, Martin, when you play along at home? Do you okay?
Not too bad, but a wee bit nervous now.
Listen. It's nothing, Martin, honestly. Right. These two are hopeless.
It'll be Scotland themed as well, Martin, probably.
Not really, actually. No. Nah, there's the odd sprinkling, but nothing too extreme. Martin's only in Airdrie. This is good because we've had a lot of people calling from like LA
and various
far-flung destinations, and I've been having to secretly add on a little bit of time because I think they're at a complete disadvantage
There's a delay.
There's a slight delay on the phone. Martin's just along the road. We'll be absolutely fine.
Back to the 80s in the phone calls. There's
no delay. There is.
Oh, there is.
Ever spoke to someone? I thought your did your son not live abroad?
Yeah, 11 years nearly.
There's a wee delay, I'm telling you. Anyway, right. What we'll do here is give Scott something else to listen to so that he can't hear us, Martin. You've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Right. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Kevin Thelwell joined Rangers from which club?
Pass.
Which Danish player joined Celtic from Real Madrid in 2006?
Gravesen.
What year is in the Scotland badge?
1876.
Who's the top scorer in the Scottish Premiership this season?
Oh, pass.
What year did Scotland men's team last make the World Cup?
1998.
Which permanent Scotland manager has the highest win percentage this century? Okay, let's bring him back. Scott Allen, can you hear us? You got us?
Yes.
Same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Kevin Thelwell joined Rangers from which club?
Everton.
Which Danish player joined Celtic from Real Madrid in 2006?
Thomas Gravesen.
What year is on the Scotland badge?
Pass.
Who is the top scorer in the Scottish Premiership?
Dundee United. Pass.
What year did Scotland men's team last reach a World Cup?
98.
Which permanent Scotland manager has the highest win percentage this century?
Steve Clark.
Which stadium has the postcode G429BA?
Queen's Park.
Martin, what are you thinking?
I think he's maybe just picked me there.
Right, let's go through them and find out. Kevin Thelwell joined Rangers from Everton. It is 1-0 to Scott Allen. However, Martin, you knew Thomas Gravesen, signed in 2006. I have to say, I feel like giving Martin a bonus point for this. I can't do it, though, because he was very close on the badge. It is 1873, Martin. He said 1876. That's not bad at all.
Just a couple of years.
I'll give you a half point. The top scorer in the Premiership is
Stampson.
Ivan Dolcek. It's the other Dundee United one. Yeah, Ivan Dolcek. I think he's got four. Yeah, did he not score in the derby at the weekend?
Yes.
Did you not do BBC commentary on the game?
I did, yes.
Right, great. Good research.
Well, I did see Dundee United. I just passed so that I could get to the next question.
What year did the Scotland men's team last reach a World Cup? It's 1998, so it's 3-2 to Scott Allen. Which permanent Scotland manager has the highest win percentage this century? Scott Allen's gone Steve Clark. The Martin has gone for Gordon Strachan. The answer is Alex McLeish. The first spell.
That's
70% first spell. Yeah, it was 10 games, I think, and won 7 of them. So there we go.
That.
Very good indeed. The G429BA was Hamden. I was looking for Hamden.
So did I get it right?
Nah, it doesn't matter. He won 3-2 anyway.
Oh, it's probably a fort. It's Queen's Park.
Yeah, I said what stadium?
Cheers, Jim.
Is Queen's Park a stadium?
No, we're playing at the City Stadium, which is Lesser Hamden.
There you go. It's probably the same postcode, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the same postcode.
I would guess so.
I've never delivered mail.
It's only a hoof at the pitch to Hamden from Lesser Hamden, so it's fine.
The pitch is unbelievable. That's
a bowling
amazing.
It is magnificent.
I was down at Scotland training. Was that yesterday? Before they flew out. It's just so good.
It is an absolute bowling green. It's one of the best pitches I've ever seen.
It's incredible.
It's superb.
Thank you, Martin. Listen, hard lines 3-2. I think that was all right, Martin.
Aye, I hung in there.
Who's your team, Martin?
Celtic.
And what's on your mind as a Celtic fan?
Same as everybody else, and it's a right poor transfer window, isn't it? So,
poor enough to like make you worry about the season, Martin, or is that over the top?
No, it's not over the top at all, by the way, because if we keep playing the way we've been playing the last couple of games, then it's definitely going to get closer. So, the flair that was there last year just isn't there this year. So, it's enough to give other teams encouragement. Put it away, three just get their act together. And the striker now, the boat in there, the Miowski, I'd have had him in Celtic all day long. You know what I mean? So,
is that how far you would go in your sort of criticism, if that's the right word? Martin says it's not an exaggeration to say that the window was so disappointing that it makes him sort of doubt that the remainder of the season. Is that fair?
No, I think it definitely. The one thing I think it has done is it's taken away a bit of the fear factor that Celtic put on other clubs, because Celtic are weaker. I think Brendan Rodgers has said, Callum McGregor, these guys were saying all these type of things before the transfer window eventually closed, that they needed, you know, replacements, you know, not just numbers but quality to compete. And Brendan Rodgers said the best way, you know, that players lift a level is by having top class players to compete against, and they never done that. So therefore, I think that fear factor that Celtic have had, when you go and play them and you look at their bench and you look how strong they were, you're thinking, oh, God, this is a, you know, an outstanding squad. But I don't think that is the case. I think, yeah, that they're starting 11, if you want to call it that, should still be good enough to win the vast majority of games. But they're certainly, their squad's not as strong, and I think that's factual, and I think everybody would sense that, particularly the opposition.
Thank you to Martin. Let's move on and bring Brian in, because he's actually got something to offer on that front. What I'm going to do, Brian, is I can get a sense of what your point is, so I'm just going to bring people up to speed quickly on the story, if they've not seen it today, about Daizen Maeda, because I know it's all the international break and so on, but Daizen Maeda, an interesting story's come out. He's spoken to the media in Japan preparing for their games. He says he was wanting to take the next step. He was keen for a summer move away, and he revealed that there was an offer that he was keen to pursue, but the move was blocked due to Celtic not having sort of suitable replacement. What's your take on that? Hi, Brian, sorry.
Yeah.
What's your take on all that?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, got you.
Last year, when player of the year, he was playing brilliant and all that. Mm-hmm. So he got an increase in his money. You know what I mean? And he got an extension in his contract.
Okay.
So he was loving it all at the time, but knew he wants to leave. Well, Celtic's entitled to hold him back until they get their money.
Yeah, I'm interested in the reaction to this, Scott, because I think today that news, I've seen it largely packaged as further proof of some sort of transfer window shambles at Celtic, and this is, and now we've got an unhappy player in our hands, and you get all that side of it. At the same time, you can't let them all go. No. He's not the first player that's told he can't leave, you know. And again, I know, because it's feeding into the bigger picture, but in isolation, you can't just let every player go that a bid comes in for, whether they want to or not.
No, and especially in the case of Daizen Maeda, the Celtic just couldn't possibly let him go. You think the uproar has been with not having signings in? If you were to let him go, it'd have been incredible. The noise from the Celtic fans, I think, which Celtic fans will find disappointing, is the fact he's done the media and he's actually spoke about that. Considering it's not went through and the window's now done, it's interesting that he's actually chose to come out and say that, because he himself, knowing how the fans have reacted to certain things, he would know what sort of feedback he would get from saying something like that. So I think on Daizen Maeda's part, I think it's a mistake to go out and tell Japanese media that he wanted away, because now when he comes back, there's going to be a lot of questions asked to him in terms of performance.
I sometimes think players genuinely, I don't mean to patronise them, but I think they sometimes forget, if they speak in their native country on international duty, that in 2025 it'll get translated and we'll get incredible. Back. Not just that's not a huge criticism of him. I just think you see it quite a lot. Player goes back, maybe feels a bit more comfortable in their homeland, says something.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've seen many, many times Gordon Sumner goes away with international clubs, and then they'll say they were misinterpreted, you know, and a misinterpretation of what they actually wanted to say, didn't translate the way they wanted it to come across. In this particular occasion, it seems as if Daizen Maeda is just, you know, stated that he wanted to leave, but he certainly the parts that I've seen, he doesn't seem to be criticising Celtic. He doesn't seem to be making such a major issue of it. But I think that there's obviously been discussions, and I think that it was obviously down to Celtic in the summer, as he said, to recruit. And when that didn't happen, as we've all said, then you can't let your top player go. I mean, haven't replaced Kyogo since last January. Strikers are at a premium, front players are at a premium, so therefore, you know, Celtic, as Brian is saying there, are fully entitled to keep the player. He's under contract, but Mate, I think the Turkish window's still open, the Saudi window's still open, so there probably still is a little bit of, you know, possible interest that could come in for him. But Celtic, there's no way, even if Celtic get an incredible offer, you think they could sell him, because they're not in a position to bring in the players. And as we mentioned, they're already weaker, and losing Dyes and Maeda would make them unbelievable significantly. But they have to get, when the player comes back, I think there has to be a conversation with Brendan Rodgers. You know, he's translator or whoever it happens to be, they have to have a sit down with him and make sure that he understands fully the reasons why, and that perhaps they might make some agreement that next season or whatever happens to be, the end of next season, then there will be, and whether that's a clause in his contract or whatever. But certainly for this season coming up, they have to get clear the air with him and make sure he's fully focused, because Celtic need him. It's as simple as that.
Is this been taken even worse amongst the Celtic fans, not only because of what's happened in the last week or so, but because it's not a huge leap? I'm not saying it's true, but it's not a huge leap to think that his form this season might now be down to that. It's, you know, if he was a player already this season who's scored that one-on-one, he's banged them in, he's fired Celtic to the Champions League, they've beaten Rangers at the weekend, then you say, well, this is all fine. He might have wanted to leave, but he's fine, he's in form, good, and he'll leave at a later date. Yeah, but that's not happening.
I don't think it's a huge leap, but I do feel I don't feel that any of Celtic's kind of top performers are performing at this moment in time. I think it's just the squad is not firing the way we've seen it. I think in terms of Maeda, he's not playing with that intensity that we've seen, especially last year, in terms of goals and in terms of off the ball, which you're also accustomed to seeing with him. So yes, when players, I don't quite know the team that's come in for him, but he could have been down for a bit. But
suggestions of Brentford, I'd be lying if I said I knew for sure. Again, that's just one of the suggestions.
But I just ultimately don't think Celtic as a team, the collective, are playing with the same intensity which we have seen over the last few years.
But looks particularly out of sorts.
In front of goal, yeah. But at the same time, the only positive I think you can take from the team collective is they haven't been conceding goals.
Yeah, you'll know, Scott, I mean, obviously you're just finishing playing, you know, as a player, if you're looking to move, there's going to be a certain element, not saying you're pulling it, I know he's not a tackler, but you know, you might not have quite the same level of commitment, because you might get injured, and that might, you know, hamper your opportunity to move if you're looking to move. Now that the window's closed, and if they can get a kind of clear of him, he might get back to something that he's best now, because that can't happen. But in that sort of 6 week period where the season has started up until last week, he might just have been just a little bit protective, just trying to hold back a fraction.
Let's ask Stephen. Thank you, Brian. Let's ask Stephen for his take on today's developments. Go on, Stephen.
I don't really know, to be honest. Where do you begin with the carry on and whatever sort of thing? You know what I mean? It's just all crazy. It's all mental. I don't know. I'm glad I gave my season break up at Celtic Park. Do you know that? I'm really glad I gave it up.
When did you give it up?
Last season.
What made you do that?
Well, apart from my, I've got arthritis, and I was away at the top of the Lisbon Lions stand, so.
You can see, Stephen. You can just tell me I was being too nosy. I thought it was like a football-related thing. You don't need answer to me. You're entitled to give up your ticket for whatever reason you want.
Well, you're being too nosy then, right?
That's fair enough.
But Stephen, are you a wee bit disillusioned? Is that really what you think? You're not, you're not as happy with the performances of the team in the last year. Even though Celtic won the league by 17 points, I think it was last year.
Aye. Right, but Jim, see, 3 years ago, right, just when Ange was just getting ready to leave, we were bringing on subs like Maeda, Jota, Giakoumatis, you know what I mean? And taking off Kyogo, Abada, and whoever else. New Celtic are looking at they're scraping the barrel now. It's pathetic, really pathetic. And the money that is in that bank, you can say, you hear 50, 60, 70 million, say between 50 and 100 million lying in that bank in there, and they brought in what? Two unknown players, two unknown wingers, and still haven't got a striker. It's pathetic. It really is. It's embarrassing. And they're asking the fans every year to put their money up, and every year the books go up. When I've got my season book, 4 years ago, it was £550, and when I let it go 2 years ago, it was £700-odd. Mm-hmm. And you get one game. And when I first got my book, you get one game. And that was, my first game was against, was it, I don't know, say Falkirk or East Fife or somebody like that, in a cup game. No, you get nothing.
I think the...
Nothing whatsoever.
I think the bit about the you know, unknown wingers, and I think that's people are referring to. But to be fair,
they knew about Hatate.
Nicholas Coons an unknown winger, Maida's an unknown. So
you know, the players don't have to know known names.
We'll give these guys a chance. I think what we can probably agree is that they maybe weren't first choice, or they maybe had to have their fee was slightly higher than Celtic would have wanted. I think that's fine, but you know, time will tell if they're any good, so to speak. But the Maida one is interesting, because for so long it was, when all the criticism came along over the summer, people sort of defaulted to, well, at least we've still got Maeda. Now, what we've seen at the start of the season, which is understandable, he might not hit the heights that he did last season anyway, because he may well have played at his peak last season. So it could be natural that you dip slightly below that anyway. If you then add in the possibility that he's not very happy, all of a sudden, thrown alongside the unknown wingers or whatever Stephen called them, you can understand why Celtic fans are not delighted about that going forward.
Yeah, well, obviously spoke about in terms of what Billy Gilmore does for a team in terms of spreading that calmness. What Dyson Maeda does first and foremost is that intensity. When you see one of your strikers hunting down the ball the way he does, getting a touch on it,
he's a trigger, isn't he?
It's a trigger, and that automatically, because of the pace he does it, everybody else is in at that intensity. And because he's maybe come off at a couple of percent, you can see if he's not playing well, they struggle to get the same intensity. There's no question about that. So he's integral to how Celtic play, especially setting the press to go and get the ball back. I think in terms of the wingers that came in, it's very early to judge. What we'll see is them coming in at this time off the back of that window, there's a lot more pressure on them to do well than there has been previous wingers.
The only thing I would say, we don't know the background stuff, and I think, as I said before, in football or sometimes we only judge what happens on the pitch. Dyson Maeda's got a very young family. His wife just had a baby there in the summer, and he's also got two very young kids, and he's came from a different country, different culture. We don't know if they've settled well. They might have settled well, hopefully they have, but they might not have. I know they played well last year, but maybe there's elements of that side of it that, you know, that we saw sometimes.
We're just basing it off him on the football,
he's on a football pitch. I mean, Scott, I mean, do you take anybody, put them over to Japan and say, right, go and live there with a young family and all that, you don't know anybody, you don't know the language. It's so difficult, and not everyone, you know, and even if you do it for a year or two, you might think, nah, it's not for me, you know, I need to move or I want to move. So I've got a bit of sympathy for players like that, like Dyson Maeda. I think he's been a terrific signing for Celtic. For the value for money has been exceptional. But there may be, I'm not saying there is because I don't know, but there may be, you know, other reasons, not just from the football side. And I think we have to maybe understand that side of it as well, the human side.
Yeah, because did Ange Postecoglou not say something when he was Celtic manager about like not falling in love with these players or something? Because he said Celtic have to be, what was the word, agile, aggressive, agile, something like that, where clubs of that size have to keep doing it. Even if you think you love them, it's 2 years, it's 3 years, you're gone, the next guy comes. Because
I think the problem is the next guy's no come in at that level, and I think that's the problem. Yeah. I mean, Maeda, Kyogo in particular, Hatate, they have those three, but there's been a lot of other guys that have came from all over the world, you know, and they haven't had quite the same success. Obviously, they just sold Adam Maeda there, who was a big signing last year, didn't work out. Alan Engels is still struggling a little bit, although again I get back to, he's a young player coming from a different country, maybe needs a little bit of time. But I think the fact is that if the Celtic had signed two or three top class signings, and even if Dyson Maeda would have dropped off a little bit or said what he said, it wouldn't be the same controversy just now.
But you need him, and you need him at his peak.
Exactly.
Idea. Well, thank you to Stephen. Good time to call if you want to join in on club football, transfer deadline day, all that sort of stuff, or back to Scotland. Anyone out there buzzing about the team selection?
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Scott Allen are here. We're building up to kick off in Denmark for Scotland. It's a huge night. It's a surprising team selection.
What's your team, Gordon?
Can Steve Clarke pull it off? We will see. We will find out I guess, in the next couple of hours. There's a few things bubbling away on the club front as well. If you want to give us a call on them, you can do. Let me give you two a full-time teaser as well. It's quite a good one, this, actually. I quite like it. Where have we got? Yes, thanks to Keith in London. No surprises for guessing the theme. Can you name the seven Danish players with the most appearances in Scotland's top flight since 1997? So we're going back a bit. Can you name the seven Danish players with the most appearances in Scotland's top flight since 97?
Brian Laudrup.
Would you believe in...
No.
No. Not since 97.
Something right, okay.
Danish.
Thomas Gravesen.
So Laudrup left in 98 and played 25. Oh. Gravesen only played 25. Oh.
Peter Lovenkrantz.
Yes, top of the tree by... Did you see the news about... Did you play with him somewhere?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Where was it again?
Birmingham City.
Did you see his news, his new venture?
Strictly Come Dancing in Denmark?
Going to Danish Strictly.
Oh, that's right, yeah, Strictly. That's right.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
I could see you, a bit of that sequence.
No.
No. Peter Lovenkrantz, any others for now?
Then Danish.
Kasper Schmeichel?
Yes, he's got 44... Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much to Keith in London. It's full time at Clyde1.com if you want to send your questions in. Let's go to Brian, who's on the line. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how's it going, Gordon?
Good, Brian. Good. What are you thinking tonight?
Oh, goodness knows where to start. I suppose I've called you many times over the last few years about Dyson. He's a phenomenon. You know, like... he doesn't average 1.5 kilometres more than any other player in the Celtic team. And so where does that leave him in regards to the rest of the Premier League? How many kilometres he's doing more? But I saw the, like, when Brendan, this whole story here is all about Brendan, right? When Brendan put him out in the wing, his body language in the next two or three games wasn't the same. And then, obviously, what you've been telling me tonight, I've literally come in from work and heard Scott Allen talking for about 30 seconds, and that's why I phoned, because of what Scott was saying, because Scott has obviously been an ex-professional, not that long ago, and he's realised what Dyson gives to the Celtic team. And everything you said, Scott, was phenomenal, because nobody else has said that in the last two or three years. People say, yeah, Dyson's good, but you've realised what he does. And now we're in this situation where he wanted away, and I don't know how does Celtic deal with that? I don't know what Brendan's thinking about it, because the situation we're in now, Brendan looks as if he wants away as well. I don't know where do we go from here. This is the main. I'll come to the bottom line here. Is you guys in the studio? I'm a Celtic supporter that paid £777 for a season ticket. I love Dyson Meada. I love the club and everything else. What would you say, without being too controversial, that Celtic supporters should do in this situation? What should we do? West Ham have stood up to Cameron Brady, etc., and they're now going to meet them. But these people don't seem to want to talk to us at all. And we've got the Dyson situation. We've got every situation that you know in the last few months, no signings, no... What do you think, as professionals in there, and obviously, Gordon, you're not wanting to speak because you're a...
What do you mean, though, on that front? Do you mean, like, do you think Celtic fans should stop going?
I'll be honest, as I said, I've not heard any of the programme, so maybe this has been said before, but what should Celtic fans do? I'm in this massive dilemma. You know, my favourite player wants away. The manager obviously wants away, because I'll stay for 3 years, but you can see it in everything he said. What should we do? Should we not buy tickets? Should we buy tickets? So, Jim and Scott...
I think what the Celtic fans want, well, I'm saying the majority of them, is they want an explanation. I think the board probably... I think they owe them that, to explain what went on, and then they can maybe get a better feel of how things went in terms of the transfer window. In terms of not going to the games, I don't think that would affect the club anyway, because there'll be fans who want to take their kids, who are maybe 9, 10, 11 year old, and want to go and watch their players, because to them that's why they love the game, getting to go and see the players there, maybe not looking at transfer windows. That's more of the kind of older audience that go to games. Younger kids just want to go to Celtic Park for the match day experience and see goals. That's so.
It's also a purely personal thing, that, isn't it? You guys, as much as I respect you both, you can't tell Celtic fans what to, you know, what to do. And but I know where why Brian's asking the question, because there is a lot of talk of this. People have been saying about, well, season tickets already paid, but I won't be taking up the Europa League ticket package. Is that as a point to the board? It's just one. It's just one guy. It's just an anecdote. But I was at Celtic Park doing some work yesterday. Was it yesterday? Day before? Anyway, and a guy walked over and he said, "Love Super Scoreboard." And but this is it. This is me. I'm here for my last look. That's it. I'm looking back. I've handed my season ticket, but I'm here for my last look around. That's it. Never going back. Yeah. And that's fine, because some people think that's ridiculous and over the top, and for others that does send some sort of message that they're dissatisfied. I know there's this open letter that's been written by all the supporters, clubs and fan groups and so on, asking for an explanation.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm a bit old school when it comes to that. I think supporters have to support their team, particularly in difficult times, because the players need the support. The players that are on the pitch, the players that are selected, they need the support. You know, if you've got a grievance with the owners, directors, whatever, you know, the board, then I think that's a different thing. I think there has to be dialogue there, and there are avenues now that you can, you know, trying to find a direction, to have some form of dialogue, and whether that's, you know, the AGMs or whatever kind of meetings that you can try and do, or whether you can get through an official body. But I just think that the players need support, and particularly, as I said to you, when things aren't going as well. Celtic have had an unbelievable successful period over the last 15 or so years domestically. Europe again did well last year as well. So there's been an awful lot of good times, and when you get a time there's a dip in it, if you want to call it that, or you flatline out, then I think that's when you need your supporters to stand up there's no to say that no one can voice their concern. They want the club to keep striving forward. They do have a lot of money, as Brian that said, but the players on the pitch need the support, and ultimately they're the guys that are going out there, are wearing the hoops, are giving 100%, so they need the backing of the fans. That's my view.
Jim, see, just obviously you've been a manager and you've experienced different things. See, if you put your play devil's advocate and put yourself in the position of the Celtic manager, and the noise is now being created through transfers, and you can now feel it through the support and all that, what would you potentially want to happen in that situation? Would you kind of let them deal with it from above? Would you want them to communicate with the fans, or would you just solely focus on?
You've got to remember, Brendan Rodgers is an employee, the same as enough a lot of other employees. His job is to do what he's asked to do for the team. It's not. He is partly responsible for the players coming in, but not everything is down to him, particularly when it comes to budgets and finances. So if he likes a player and the player wants too much money, or if it's too expensive, then the club have to say to him, and he then has to deal with that. So I don't think it's Brendan Rodgers' job. He's tried to manage it as best he could. He's worded it as carefully as he could, but you can't then go and criticise your employers. Yep. You know, his job is to try
be doing then with
try and promote Celtic at every opportunity, and that'll be part of his contract. You know, he can't then go and disrespect the club.
Basic communication level, could he be doing with someone answering questions on this? Even if the answers aren't satisfactory, it's still something, because his next press conference again is going to be wall to wall. Him having to be the spokesman.
I think he's got a difficult one, Gordon, because if, you know, a spokesperson, a director, or, you know, one of the sporting directors or whatever comes out, recruitment, and says, listen, we went for, let's just say, six players and we offered them, you know, really lucrative contract. Well, people say, well, you should have paid them more, you should have offered them more. So you're almost in a no-win situation if you say that you went for players and didn't get them. You might get even more criticism.
Thank you, Brian. Let's quickly revisit that teaser just to see if you've got any. We're looking for the seven Danish players with the most appearances in the top flight since 97. You've got Lovenkrantz and Schmeichel.
Henningberg?
Nope.
He's probably not Norwegian,
wasn't he? He's not Danish.
I'm just trying to think. Was there... It's not all Firm players, is it? Is it whole of Scotland?
Yeah, it can be, yeah. Right. I mean, obviously, most of them do tend to have a link.
The midfield, Stefan
Johansson, Norwegian
as well.
Right neck of the woods.
It's quite difficult, that, isn't it? This question.
I'll give you some thinking time. But that's your link back to international football. Thank you to Brian for the domestic call. Scott is on about Scotland this evening. What are you thinking?
Evening, guys. Just calling about... I just had a few chats with some of my mates the night about the lineup that's came out. I've no listened in earlier in the show. Obviously, when I've been tuning in, I've been talking about Celtic and stuff like that, so I don't know if it's been discussed earlier.
No, don't worry. Happy to revisit.
With the lineup tonight, I'm hearing a lot of people. I've looked at the two lineups, and to me, on paper, I don't think the Danish side is anything to be worried about or anything to be... I don't think it's that much better than the Scotland side, basically, that's been named. I also think that it's not like it's a team that we are expected to go and win away from home. I'd take a point right now, put it that way, but I don't think it's a team to be feared by any means.
Are you happy with the Scotland team, Scott?
There's only one Ballon d'Or nominee in the 22 this evening, and he's nowhere in red.
Yeah, but is Scott happy with the Scotland team?
I would say, other than maybe I would have put possibly Doak out wide.
Scott, do you think that team selection looks like a coaching staff who doesn't think that this Denmark team could pose them threats?
Well, I think we've got two strikers in the park. That's a start.
That's if it shapes up in terms of how the game goes and they get to play as a two-up. I think with that team, I think you could be forced back quite deep to for most of the game when it actually looks like a 4-5-1.
You could look at it that way, I suppose.
I think the truth may be in the middle. You're right, but we can't always have it both ways. It's two strikers, right? Mm-hmm. There's two strikers on the pitch. Mm-hmm. Something that people call for all the time. You can't then wait until those two are named and go, I can't believe they won't play the strikers anyway. You know, we need to be careful we don't go.
I think we've all said, if Andy Robertson and I think he can get forward, and neither of us do have played much football recently, but we need that width. I think that's the thing. I think that's the thing that everyone says, even if you've got two strikers, they need service. And to get that service, you either have to control the midfield, and if it isn't going to be a diamond in terms of ball retention, or you need to get your fullbacks really high and wide, because the strikers will then be starved. So it's just the balance of the team. But, you know, we are guessing all the time. Of course we are. But Scott's right in one aspect. Yeah, we're playing two strikers. So that is, you know, if we're giving it a go, that is one part of it that we can't complain about, that we are playing with two out and out strikers.
A Ballon d'Or nominee as well. Aaron Hickey back. Mm-hmm. Look, I've been honest. I don't particularly like the team either. So I'm not going to lie about that. But at the same time, maybe we are quite quick to overlook the positives, the strong points. Scott McTominay, as we said, the form that he's in.
Well, again, no disrespect to the bench, but there's not a huge... We thought Gilmore, but again, you maybe have to change the shape of the team a little bit. But if Steve is looking to play this particular shape, then maybe Gilmore sitting as a pivot might have been the one. He wouldn't have played with a winger unless he plays Doak off one of the strikers, which he can do, of course, as well. But again, he's looked at the fitness of all the players and thought they're not quite ready yet. There's not been a lot of football, as Scott mentioned earlier on, and I know it's early in the season, but a lot of these players haven't played a lot of minutes. So again, he's maybe looked at a number of these things and thinking with the group of players he has. I said, and no disrespect to the bench, I don't think it's a huge lot of creativity in the bench, really, you know, that you could have dramatically changed it.
I think it's the same in the starting 11. I just think, for me, if you are relying on Hickey and Robertson to be your width, and you're expecting to get, you look at McTominay, most of his goals are arriving in the box late, there's going to be such an onus on them to get high at times and put balls in the box, but you can only really get them high for a sustained amount of time if you have a control there.
Yeah. And that's... Well, we'll see how it plays out, Scott. Thank you for your optimism. It doesn't come around often in these parts of the footballing world, so it is nice to hear it. In fact, Scott's in the Netherlands, that's why he's moved away from our Scotland negativity, and he's managed to live it up over there. Thank you very much to Scott on the line. Before we get that game underway, let's have a bit of fun with this.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
Right, now is your chance to win some cash with McNair's by simply guessing some of the weekend's results on our Pundit Predictor. After Kevin only managed one out of three last week, we've added another £100, so it's going up every week because nobody can get it right. So tonight there is £300 on the line, and all you need to do is guess the outcome of three games. Now, we're having to delve into the lower leagues here. There's not a lot of football, so just take a guess. what we've got for you tonight. Morton against Raith Rovers, Ross County v Arbroath, East Fife against Dumbarton. All we need is the three outcomes. No score lines or anything like that. Home win, draw or away win. 01419511025. There's £300 up for grabs if you can get them all right. Over 18s only. Call us before the end of this ad break and we'll see who is giving it a go when we return.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are underway.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Delivered on time for over 40 years.
I was getting excited there because we're underway in Denmark. I felt like it was breaking news and I forgot about the Pundit Predictor. But there we are. We are underway. We'll keep you up to speed on anything that is happening inside the opening stages. 1.5 minutes gone. Pretty much nothing really to tell you about yet. But let's play the Pundit Predictor. We've teamed up with McNair's to give away some cash. We're up to £300 and all you need to do is just predict the outcome of three games over the weekend. We've got Morton Raith, Ross County Arbroath, East Fife Dumbarton, because we don't have any other domestic football due to the internationals. So let's bring in Robert in Scotstoun. How are you, Robert?
I'm fine, Gordon. How are yourself?
All good, thank you, Robert. All good. It is very straightforward, Robert. I'm going to name you the fixture. You just need to tell me who's going to win it or if it's going to be a draw. You up for that?
Yes, certainly.
Right, let's go. Morton v Raith Rovers.
A draw.
Draw. Ross County Arbroath?
Ross County.
Okay, and East Fife, Dumbarton?
Oh, that's a hard one.
Is that?
Dumbarton's picked up a wee bit. I'm going to go for a draw.
There we go. So there's a couple of draws and a Ross County win in there for Robert in Scotstoun. Well, we wish you well, Robert. It's simple. You just kick back, get the feet up, relax over the weekend, keep an eye on those results, and we'll find out on Monday if you've won the £300. If not, another 100 goes into the pot thanks to McNair's. Okay, Robert?
Sorry, God, I was just going to say I played this game during the Euros.
Oh, right, I remember that, yep.
And I won £300.
Oh, brilliant. He's a serial winner.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go.
Good luck again, Robert.
Well done to you, Robert. Thank you very much.
Good guys.
Tell you what, Robert, I think even based on that, Robert's a lucky guy because not only has he won before, these phone lines were red hot, obviously picked at random, and this guy's been on before.
There you go, see.
Okay.
Is that for it?
What would you have gone for? Did you grumble with any of his selections? Morton v Raith, he took a draw. Ross County v Arbroath, home win.
It's a difficult one because I know how tough the championship is. Listen, you could go anything with Morton and Raith. It could go either way, and they could have a draw. So I'd probably go maybe a draw as well. I think that Ross County, we obviously with the new manager there, with Tony Docherty taking over. So I think that could be a home win. Sorry, I've just seen a bad tackle.
It's a heavy challenge on John McGinnis.
Somebody's got booked
straight away. Definite booking.
3 minutes.
Yeah, 3 minutes in. Scotland, we kind of knew this. I think Scotland are... Scotland are going to sit off and just try and frustrate, aren't they? It kind of looks
like... What's the shape, Scott?
4-5-1.
Listen, see if it works.
Have you ever seen a more disgruntled look than anybody than Scott Allen?
If it works, we'll take it. We'll see what happens.
I know, but you just straight away mentality is to just give up the ball.
Well, listen, see Scotland make the World Cup, you're not getting an invite.
Listen, Hoiberg's got a book in 3 minutes, so he likes a tackle, so there's every chance he can get another one in.
Well, talking about football this weekend, we're off tomorrow. I'm going to East Kilbride. See if this man.
Sure, man.
Are you? Both together. Yeah. Wonderful.
There you go.
Look at that. We'll see what his coaching's made of, eh? Sitting here criticising the Scotland manager.
See if he plays a dime in the morning or I'll be getting slaughtered.
See if they concede from a set piece tomorrow, Jim. The set piece coach over there is getting it in the neck. That's for sure.
Attacking set pieces.
Oh, it's just
coach.
Attacking set pieces, is it? Well, you better score
when
from
we don't
one.
Concede one.
Right, free kick Scotland. Just on the brink of shooting territory. I don't think we've necessarily got many that would have a strike from distance, but it's on that cusp, isn't it? Maybe what, just over 30 yards or so?
He's given a foul against
He did buy it, didn't he?
I think he does catch him, though. I think he does catch him, but that's a...
Oh, no, he's given a... Is that a drop?
He's obviously just not given anything at all. He's just a player injured, and he's stopped to play because Lewis Ferguson was injured.
Oh, strange call. Okay, 5 minutes in, nothing really doing yet. No chances at either end. Like I say, I'm not exaggerating, very little to take away from it yet. Denmark clearly wanting to start on the front foot and start quicker. Greece, incidentally, are beating Belarus. I don't think there's a surprise there that you talk about...
Greece is good, isn't it?
Yeah,
Greece are good.
That's what I was going to say. This is not about excuses, but I don't think that bit of the draw was particularly kind. We maybe avoided one of the absolute heavy hitters, yeah. But then Denmark are good. I think because Greece have got they're kind of up and coming,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, they are,
they're always ones,
yeah,
to look out for, aren't they? Where they're sort of seeding or their ranking or whatever might not be that high, but actually they're
yeah,
in the ascendancy.
Yeah, they are a decent side, and you know they've got some good players. But again, as we mentioned, if you look at the four teams, there's not a huge amount between all of them. So on any given day, if you're very best and they're just a little bit below, you can get a result.
You've got work to do in this teaser, actually. I forgot all about that. Can you name the seven Danish players with the most top flight appearances since 97? You've got Peter Lovenkrantz and Kasper Schmeichel.
And Erik Shevchenko.
Yes, Shevchenko.
Well, the obvious one, I think, Matt O'Reilly.
Yes. Is he on the bench for Denmark tonight?
Yes. And the other one, I was trying to get the time in my head. I think it might be later, but he signed for Dundee when I was there. Morten Wieghorst.
Yep. Morten Wieghorst. So you've got two to get. I would, funnily enough, one of them's actually got 91 appearances. He's second on the list, but it's definitely the two hardest.
I can't remember his first name, but it's a boy, Larsson.
Oh, it's him. Well
Larsson.
Done. Ulrik Larsson. Well done.
Ulrik Larsson.
And Celtic and Hibs.
Yeah.
Well done. Okay, only one to get. Scott, we said earlier, and as Denmark now win a free kick, a heavy challenge by Scott McTominay, there's bits of this, you kind of know this is clearly set up to be defensive and functional, but you're going to have to try and keep the ball at some point. I'm not convinced that's a free kick either, by the way.
Listen, from the get-go, Denmark have absolutely controlled the game. They've kept the ball. Scotland, on the other hand, if they can get a hold of it, because they're so deep, it's what we spoke about, when it goes up, and Denmark are obviously playing a high line. We don't have pace in terms of getting in behind, so you don't have that out ball. Well, Ben Doak can maybe get you 30, 40 yards up the pitch and have the Denmark players worried about his pace. We don't have that, and they'll know that. I just feel as the game progresses and they look to the distances become bigger in terms of in the middle of the park and start to stretch any chances, then
don't score from this, because I'm not convinced that was a free kick at all. So
it looks as if Scotland are playing a 4-2-3-1. It looks as if Christie's in the left, McGinn's in the right, with Adams just playing behind Lyndon Dykes, and obviously McTominay and Ferguson as two holding midfield players. So we thought they might play a diamond, but it looks as if it's a 4-2-3-1.
Okay, 8 minutes gone. Denmark are about to try and put Scotland under pressure. They've got a couple round the back, and it's offside.
Offside,
anyway.
Aye.
Good line from Scotland. Well defended, straight into Angus Gunn's arms.
Defending the set piece coach got it right there.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't half. I think there was he's miles offside.
Yeah.
Miles and miles offside. Stand down, no panic. Angus Gunn's just going to get things back underway. Right, we actually need to finish the teaser because we are leaving you for the evening. So what are you thinking? One more Danish player with the most top flight appearances since 97. Peter Lovenkrantz, Ulrik Larsson, Matt O'Reilly, Morten Wieghorst, Kasper Schmeichel, Erik Svechenko.
What club?
St. Johnston.
Tommy Lovenkrantz.
It's his brother.
I had him in my head and I thought that... Love it.
Well done. 47 appearances, as you can hear. We're nearly out of time as Denmark go on the attack. Go on then, it's cheating a bit because there's 8 minutes gone. Score prediction, how's it going to end?
I'm going to go for a very optimistic 1-1.
Okay, it is looking optimistic at this point, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll go hopeful of a 1-1, but I think it'll be 2-0 to Denmark.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens and we'll pick it over when we return. But in the meantime, enjoy the rest, enjoy all of your weekend. It's going to start in the company of the GBX up next.